I saw very nice. Before I proceed with Simon Membeis, I want to share with you a very nice. It's a true story, and I think it's very appropriate for the days of the Oymah. I saw it today brought in the weekly news Dvar Torah sheet. It brings from Rabbi Levin. Rabbi Levin used to say how important it is to be Donekav Schos. How great it is to be Donekav Schos, and how terrible it is if one is not Donekav Schos. And here is a story to make everybody. It's incredible, but it's a true story. There was in Etz Chaim Yeshiva, which was the Talmud Torah, the Yeshiva in Yerushalayim of years ago. The Yeshiva, the Mashkiach was Rabbi Levin, the famous Rabbi Levin, who was known to be the love of the prisoners, and he used to be looking after all the people, however on whom they were in the prison. He used to look after anybody, he would look after them. So he was also the Mashkiach of Etz Chaim Yeshiva. And what happened was, there was one particular boy, a young boy, that would go every single day to the shop nearby and buy sweets. Now, every single day he would go and buy sweets, and there was no way. Where would he get the money from? Where did he get the money from? It was a poor family, like all the Yerushalmi's family. Where would he get the money? Where would he get the money from? So Rabbi Levin was notified, and it was evident that something dodgy is going on there. Why would a little boy have money every single day to buy some sweets? It would be a yearly treat to get some sweets. They wouldn't afford it every single day. And every single day he goes and buys sweets. So he approaches the boy, and the boy seems very uncomfortable about it. He goes, where did you get the money from? It's uncomfortable. He asks the boy again, where's the money? You're such a good boy, But then where's the money from? And he does not judgmental, but it was very warm and friendly kind of person. Until he says, yeah, I got it from home. From home? Really? Where from home? He says, the boy admits that his father's got a jacket, and in that jacket there's always a few coins, and he takes the money from there. So he said, all right, okay, if that's the case, I've got to deal with it. He said, you're a very sweet boy and everything, I'm not going to punish you, but you shouldn't be doing this again. Money's not meant for that. And you can't just take money from your father's pocket and use it for sweets. So the boy regretted it. Okay. He went up to the father and said, I've got to tell you, as a mashkiach of the yeshiva, I've got to tell you what your son just told me. He said, what happened? He says, my son tells me that he took from the pocket of your jacket. He took a few coins, and he's been doing that for when he, as soon as the father hears that, he faints on the spot. It took him a while to get him back to get it. As soon as he gets out of his faint, he gains back consciousness, he says, I'm a murderer, and he faints again. Murderer. Took a few days until everything came out. So what happened was that this father of the boy, he was a very good son-in-law, and he had been hosting his shvigah, his mother-in-law, for a long time in his own house. It was a very tiny flat, and he's been looking after his mother-in-law for years in his house. And she's been going quite old, and she was getting a bit funny, and a bit, the age had just taken her, and it was getting a bit more difficult in the family until the father realized that every single day there was money missing from his pocket. And then he said, well, it must be that she's gone so crazy that there's no other option. She must be taking my money from my pocket every single day. And that was the final straw that broke the camel's back. And they said, okay, we're going to send her to an old age home. And they sent her, because of that, that was like the final crucial thing, they sent her to an old age home. Because she's gone old, she's not with it anymore and everything. And a few weeks after, she was very, very unhappy and very bitter in old age home. And a few weeks later, after she's been in the old age home, she died. She died. And that's why he said, and now I realize that I was sure that the person who had taken the coins from her pocket was my mother-in-law. I had no evidence for it, but I thought it must be her. And in reality, it was my own son who did it. And he said that led to an untimely pardon. It had been his son who had taken every day a few coins from him, and who admitted his guilt. So Rabbi Levin says this person never recovered from that, because he really felt that he had caused an untimely death of his mother-in-law. And he said there was, of course, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is his ways, and we know that everything is in Moshe Rabbeinu's hands. But there's a grain of truth in it, that it was caused by being had he not judged his mother-in-law, that she was the one that had taken these coins from her pocket, he wouldn't have sent her to the old age home, and she could have stayed many years happily. So he felt very, very guilty about that. Rabbi Levine brings this story. He said that he was part of the story. He witnessed his first hand. He said he felt this shows how important it is to be Donek HaVschos, and how important it is in a person is to really, really go out of his. He has to really think. You know, but it's very interesting. I'm saying this story because a colleague of mine was choshing me today, having done. I sent an email to somebody, and he went all the way and something. Somebody suspected me of doing something which I hadn't done. It was just, you know, it's just really important to keep out. If you want to work on the Oymah, on Ben Lechaveroi, Ben Lechavschos is probably one of the on top of the list. Yeah, would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Even if it's not self-understood.
You would say somewhere that people got to know, always judge somebody favorably.
Yeah.
Isn't there somewhere in New Year's other way?
Yeah, but don't let's call it the Mishnah in Obvious. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, want to learn a few halachas tonight. I noticed that we did not complete Simon Mem Beisif Aleph, which we started end of the year yesterday. We did not complete it. I therefore want to quickly start from the beginning and then go from the middle and carry on from there. So also Lashanah Tefillin Shel Rosh, Shel Tefillin Lasus and Shel Yad. We discussed that extensively yesterday. You're not allowed to make Tefillin Shel Rosh into Tefillin Shel Yad. Yeah, we discussed that?
Yeah.
After the Kach Bratzua, Im Tik Tratzua, Vritim Beshel Yad, also Mipnei Shein, Meridim, Mektusha Lechamur, Lektusha Kala, Vashel Rosh, Tik Josh Lechamur, Sherubo, Shel Shakai, Beshel Rosh, because the majority, why is it more? Holy, because it's got the majority of the letters of Shin, Kuf, Yud, and Shel Rosh. Aber Mishel Yad, Shel Rosh, Mutal Hashana, is but to take the Tefillin Shel Yad, and increase the Ekdusha to make the Tefillin Shel Rosh, that's permitted. Now, full stop. That's where we stopped yesterday, we continue from there. Veimo Yuchadoshim, if there were brand new Tefillin, Sha'adayin Lo Yinuchon, which were never used. Tefillin which were never used. Mutal Hashana, is then you're allowed to change. Afilu Mishel Rosh, Shel Yad. You can change them. So he says, you know, if the we discussed yesterday, you cannot take Tefillin Shel Yad, make them Tefillin Shel Rosh. We discussed it yesterday. What about if those Tefillin were never used? Can I do it? Says Shulchan Aruch, yes, you can.
Why do you
want to
change it? Because it's a
departure. How or why?
Why?
Why would you want to change it?
How?
So that you can do, we discussed that. He mentions it here. We discussed that previously. By covering it all up, you could really make into. There's a way of covering it all up. We don't do it anymore. I've never seen it. But you cover it all up, and thereby it becomes like one bias, and therefore you could use that to finish it. Now, why would a person do that? I don't know. Why would a person do that? No idea. But there's a concept of here. I don't know why Shulchan Aruch is teaching us of being underlying a very important concept. And the concept could be more important than the implication. Because the concept that Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, if you've got Tefillin Shel, if you've not used them, you can swap. Why? Why can you swap? Why can you swap? This is a Tefillin Shel Rosh.
There's no high low kedusha.
Why not?
It has been designated.
That's it. This is the Shas rule, which Mishtibur quotes over here in Seif Katan Vav. Yes, that's exactly the point. Even though I should emphasize this. Yes, says Mishnah Mosif Kodan Vav, Lo Yinicham Al Roshoi, on his head. After Mishnah Zimnam Vichinam, despite the fact that he was Zimnon, Zimun literally means to invite. Or in this context it means, I love you, were designated. Veichinam prepared the Tzorich HaRosh. Hazman is the four crucial words to be underlined, emphasized, and highlighted. Hazmana lav milzi. An invitation, as it were, is not considered, how should you call it? Invitation, right? The designation is not considered.
I don't understand. What do you mean it hasn't been designated?
It has not been designated. Because has, no, it has been designated, but it hasn't been. The Hazmana, the invitation itself, is not crucial enough.
It should have been designated when the surface written it.
So it's Hazmana, Yes, but you're right. So it's been invited, it has been designated. But it hasn't been used as such. So we're learning that the hazmona, the fact that it's merely been designated, lav milta, is not crucial enough.
You could change it around.
Yes, you can. As long as you haven't used it. If you've used it once, so can't anymore.
The use
is the point. Hazmona, lav milta.
Rabbi Yisai. But that was not the intention when the sofa wrote it. Though.
Correct. But we're learning now that the intention of the sofa, that's exactly what we're emphasizing now. The intention of the sofa doesn't make a difference. In fact, the intention of the man himself who's going to wear it, that itself is also non-important. Because what counts is not his intention, but the first use. Once you've used it once, that's what it is. Rabbi said this rule of hazmona lav milta is a machloikas. It's a machloikas, hazmona milta, hazmona lav milta. And this is one of the very important. I'll tell you where else it applies. It applies like this. What if somebody has got built a new toilet? A new toilet. There's many actual new toilet. And you fancy davening in that new toilet. Grand, new beautiful tiles. You want to daven there. Astonishing. Great. You want to daven. You want to thank the Bnei Shalom for making this. So now, can you daven in that toilet? Toilet. How can you daven in the toilet? The answer is?
Has been used.
That's it. Has been used. Milzer. As long as it has not been used. If it has not been used. Watch your builders. But if it has not been. Right, okay. So let's talk about the opposite scenario. Let's talk about the opposite scenario. A shul which has not been used. It's been built, purpose-built shul. And now in a shul, there are many halachas, things you can't do. You can't do in a shul, such as?
Eating.
Eating, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Good, you're right. That's really the question, of course. Let's talk about Basic Knesset, you can pretty much do everything. But let's talk about Basic Knesset. Okay, you build a purpose-built shul, which, by the way, we don't do this anymore nowadays. But let's just say.
Can't sleep, can't eat,
absolutely. Now, let's say I really love this new shul. I wanna sleep in this place. It's grand. It's a beautiful shul. I want to sleep. It hasn't been used. The answer is,
pardon? Put the builders up there. They come from out of town and they don't...
Exactly, very good, yeah. So the halacha is, Abayisai has mon alav milzer. Based on this concept we're seeing right over here. Oh, good question. Very good question. I don't know. Really good question. I really don't know. It's a nice question.
Surely, even if it hasn't been used, it's disrespectful.
Why? Has mon alav milzer. Has mon alav milzer. It's a designation is meaningless as long as it hasn't been used for that particular purpose.
And you could go and daven there.
Yeah, yeah. There's no reason why not. Because it could be that tomorrow you're going to change your mind. You're going to use it as your dining room. You know, who knows? Because it's only been designation itself doesn't. Rabbi said it's an important rule. It's an important rule. Yes, that's next halacha. That's what we're going to be seeing right now. Correct. No, so we don't actually allow. So there is a lot of truth in what you're saying. There's a lot of truth in what we're saying. We don't actually allow. No, we won't allow brachas because it's still like a beis hamechitz. But in terms of requiring washing hands just for going to beis hakisa, it's halacha. We learn in Siman Dalet. If you're going to beis hakisa, you've got to wash your hands. Does this also apply with our toilets? There's a strong argument to say that it doesn't apply. Yes, so that's true.
What about if you've got a toilet separate from the bathroom? So there's no toilet, you've got the bathroom.
Yes, so that's like Beis HaMechetz. No, because it's still considered Beis HaMechetz, which you still shouldn't daven there. So it's not a toilet, but it's still considered like a washroom, which you still shouldn't be davening there. Yeah, but you're right. In terms of nowadays, many places can hold that Beis HaKissa nowadays is far cleaner than, and therefore some of the locks don't apply. This is correct. Simon. That's exactly your point. What happens if you make a condition in advance? You say, okay. I'm making a condition. I don't want this full kedusha to settle on this tefillin. I've been lost on Adam, even if a person did wear them, so contrary to what we just spoke about, this has a mon alav milta issue. So even if somebody did wear it, you can still change them and downgrade the tefillin. Even on tefillin shel rosh, you can make it tnai. You say, okay, I don't mean it that serious, okay? This is Tefillin Shel Rosh, I know, but I don't mean it that serious. I'm making a condition over here. I'm kind of conditioning, I'm qualifying, I'm limiting the Kedusha. I'm saying it's not going to be the full Kedusha on this. I might change my mind, kind of thing. I'm quite chilled about this. I'm not going all the way. So if you're saying that, even if you would Tefillin Shel Rosh, but you could still change your mind eventually. Very big. Chiddush says the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Mches Mitchila in advance. Be'ez Asiyas Shel Rosh, as you were wearing the Tefillin Shel Rosh, not wearing, making Tefillin Shel Rosh. Afilu, yeah, Be'ez Asiyas Shel Rosh. Afilim Lo Hisne, Yachim Itzayich Lasus Menu Shel Yad, Shiyase Mehani. So he says as follows: Afilu evenim loy hisne. You only made a condition. Even if you say, okay, this is Tefillin Shel Rosh. I know it is. But I might one day change my mind. Just because I'm using it today as Tefillin Shel Rosh doesn't mean I'm going to wear Tefillin Shel Rosh next week, next month, next year. I may change my mind. So I'm kind of I'm looking for the right word. I'm limiting the Kedusha. I'm qualifying the Kedusha. I am limited company. Is that what it is? What is it? I'm saying, I might still change my mind. Don't take it so serious. I might still change my mind. You have to do that. Then, in such a case, since you made a pre-advance notification, therefore you can still change your mind and put the Tefillin Shel Rosh into the Tefillin Shel Yad.
As long as you want.
Even more so, if you say, you could.
Even if I do it for years.
4 years. As long as you made the Tznai in advance. Sounds like a Rabbi Kiddush. I don't exactly know. Do you know how that works? Why does that work? I'm saying, if I just put on Tefillin Shel Rosh once, it becomes Kedusha. But over here, since I'm saying that I'm limiting the Kedusha, then the Kedusha is limited, and therefore I could change it into Tefillin Shel Rosh. How do you feel about this, Halacha? It's a big Kiddush, no? I think it's a very big Kiddush. Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. It's certainly a chiddush. Now the Bialoch discusses, if you look at the Bialoch Mishlosh Tefillin Shel Yad, Apash Kolchkin Ratzuos. So that could be both with regards to the bottom end of Ratzuos. Parshias, everything applies. And the full Kedusha, it doesn't apply. Yeah. How do you feel about this? Big chiddush, huh? Yeah.
You don't understand what you're saying. If you haven't used it,
it's Tefillin. I'm going to say, you see, this Tefillin Shel Rosh, I might still change my mind. I may one day use my Tefillin Shel Yad. So if I say that
before I used it,
then I can do it.
I mean, you can change each time.
Yeah, I can't do it. I don't know about changing each time, but I can downgrade it.
Every time.
Not every time. I don't know about every time. I can't downgrade it once if I want to.
But then, can't you do it?
Not. Well, to upgrade, Kedusha is always permitted.
But on the other hand, the lesson here in the
Mishnah Berurah,
he says,
Be'ez Asiyas
Shel Rosh. Which is surprising because we said before the Asiyas is not the Ikka, but
the Wen. Yeah. I don't know if Asiyas means of here literally the making. Probably, I don't know. It sounds like an interesting idea. Okay, Rabbi, that's how much we learned this evening. We discussed that Hazmona Lav Milta designation is not
activation.
Oh, that's good. Watch out. Yeah, it's good, but it's very true. Designation is not activation. In other words, but I just designate this thrilling being Tulashmashilat, I can still change my mind afterwards because I haven't actually put them on. I haven't used them. But once I've used them even once, I can't downgrade the Tefillin Shel Rosh into the Tefillin Shel Yad, as discussed yesterday as well. But once I wear them once, it's being activated. We also learned that that you can make a condition, a pre-qualifying kind of statement that I might change my mind, and that suffices, and that allows me to change my mind and put the tefillin shel rosh into the tefillin shel yad, because there is that condition that works. Okay, that's it for this evening, gentlemen. And having said this, I wish you a very good Shabbos.